One of the ongoing questions since the election of Donald Trump is what are the Russians after and why are they so perverse? Kristen Godsey has written a book called Red Hangover, Legacies of 20th Century Communism. And you trace this, Kristen, to the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. Tell me about that.
One of the things that I did a couple years ago when I was living in Germany was attend the 25th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall in Berlin. There was a big celebration and Gorbachev was there. And one of the things that he said at that time, this was soon after the annexation of Crimea and rising tensions in Ukraine, was that we were on the brink of a new Cold War and that this had to do with Western triumphalism. And I was really curious about what that meant and where that sentiment came from. And so I started doing research on this in Eastern Europe. And I think with many people, scholars in the region, that there was something about the way the West handled 1989 that wasn't exactly gracious in the same way that we handled the end of the Second World War. We didn't handle the end of the Cold War as graciously as perhaps we should have. And I think in some ways, the current political situation is reverberations from the handling or the poor handling and the lessons mm-hmm. that we didn't learn in 1989.
This whole idea that democracy has a natural attraction to all these other countries and they would all fall in line and sort of kowtow to American exceptionalism?
Right. Well, also the idea that you bring democracy, you force regime change. But one of the most important things that I want to make clear is that, look, these were terrible regimes in Eastern Europe, as are the regimes that were toppled in the Middle East, Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi in Libya, and obviously Assad in Syria. These are dictators. These are not democracies.
Right.
But if you're going to press for regime change, you have to make sure that you build the correct situation for democracy to grow and flourish in that context. And one of the things, I know you were in Berlin in 1989. You were also in Czechoslovakia. And we all remember those images of the Germans dancing on the wall or Dubček in Wenceslas Square embracing the masses of people in Prague. And what we don't recall is the suffering that followed that initial transition. So there was a lot of euphoria, and then a lot of really awful things happened in Eastern Europe. In some countries, there was crime and corruption. In other countries, there was massive economic dislocation. There was a study done in 2009 that showed that rapid privatization resulted in a lot of excess deaths, particularly in Russia, where male life expectancy declined precipitously. And then the other thing that we find is that in 2009, the Pew Research Center did a study looking at people's memories and thoughts about the communist past 20 years after the fall of Berlin Wall. And in Hungary in 2009, what you find is 72% of the population saying that their lives are now worse off than they were under communism.
Yeah.
Now, those are really shocking results. And so the question is why? What went wrong? It was such a promising moment in history.
Well, what went wrong was that all these currencies failed. And so people who had bought into the communist system, which guaranteed them housing and food and retirement, now they suddenly had to rely on their savings, which were absolutely worthless. So they were literally impoverished overnight. They were, you know, there were long lines of people selling things on the way into subway stations. People who were formerly doctors and lawyers were reduced to sell. It was like the Great Depression in America, selling apples on the street. Is there so what should we have done instead? Not that we can change it now, but
I mean, that's a really good question. That's always tricky, the counterfactuals. But I think from my point of view as a scholar and as somebody who's lived and spent a lot of time doing research on ordinary life in the region, I think we should have really been attentive to the suffering of ordinary people. As you said, it was like the Great Depression. People's lives were completely overturned overnight, and many people never really quite recovered. And even now, 25 years after the fall of the wall, young people have aging parents who don't really have pensions. There's been massive out-migration in this part of the world. There's still a lot of poverty, incredible poverty in countries like Bulgaria and Romania. And nobody's really paying attention to that. I was in Bulgaria a couple years ago in 2013 when there were a spate of self-immolations. People were setting themselves on fire to protest poverty and corruption. And the West has just sort of forgotten about this. And I think that's a real problem. We really need to be responsible when we bring democracy, when we bring this sort of gift of liberalism and freedom, which is really important thing, and they're very valuable ideals, but you can't just impose them willy-nilly without making sure that those countries have the base to really make those things work. And we're seeing the ramifications of not recognizing the failures of 89 in places like the Middle East today.
And would you say that explains why Vladimir Putin, as authoritarian as he may be, might want to make us look really bad, might want to make democracy look like a corrupt endeavor?
I do think that there is a lot of animosity towards democracy. I mean, in the United States, democracy was a really valued ideal during the Cold War that everybody, most Americans, stood behind. And we believed in a sort of universal value of rights and liberties and freedoms that we were willing to die for. We were willing to go to nuclear war for in many cases. And what's happened to that ideal, unfortunately, for many people around the world, is that it now seems like a tool of American economic imperialism abroad. My daughter has a Bulgarian uncle, and he made this joke last year when I was visiting that, you know, if they suddenly discovered oil in Antarctica, then America would try to bring democracy to the penguins. And I think that that's a really telling anecdote. Like, instead of really believing in this ideal of democracy, democracy has just sort of become a cudgel that the United States uses selectively, of course, on countries that it wants to have economic power over, but, you know, and then not on other countries, for instance, Saudi Arabia, that it has fine economic relations with. I mean, it's just a very uncomfortable discussion to have with people in the region because they conflate democracy with sort of the worst aspects of capitalism. And I fear that that's a lot of what's underpinning the current nefariousness behind Putin's sort of designs on discrediting democracy.
Yeah. Sounds like you're calling for American leaders to be a little more humble, but you can't afford to be a humble president. You write your opponent's attack ads.
Yeah, I don't know. That I think that it's maybe a different era of diplomacy than during the Cold War. Diplomacy was very heated during the Cold War, but I do think that both sides took their ideological missions quite seriously, and American politicians defended this ideal of democracy because it stood for something. We were on a moral high ground in the United States. That unfortunately, in some ways, I think internationally at least, we've really lost, which is a shame. We've squandered that.
Kristen Godsey is the author of Red Hangover, Legacies of 20th Century Communism. Kristen, thanks very much.
Thank you.